Keith Finnegan stole my swan food. More on this bombshell after this from Elvis Costello. There we are. Whoa! We're up. How about that? There's some professional broadcasting right there. I thought that that track was a what we in the business call a hard finisher. It's not. As you could tell there, it faded out, and then there was me and PJ Gallagher wandering around the studio like a couple of tramps. How are you doing, my friend?
Grand. I love wandering around like a tramp. It suits me.
It is. It
works for me.
For a man of my age, it's a solid sartorial look, and it does keep people guessing. And there is that. There's that thing about certain trampy men. Is you look at certain trampy. I was discussing this with a mate last night. The unbelievably wealthy people look like tramps.
Yeah, they do, I suppose.
Really, really prosperous, wealthy people are unbelievably scruffy and untidy and drive the worst cars and that. Really rich people.
I know, that's how you... That's, like, the proper way to be rich, though. That's proper old money rich, isn't it? Like, you know that Longleat Park in England?
Oh, yeah.
You see the guy that owns that and he's got giraffes and rhinos and he just goes around with holes in his jumper.
That's the way to be rich, in fairness. Yeah, yeah. But I'm wondering... If you had... Right, here's a conjecture. Here's PJ Gallo, my guest, by the way, appearing in Singlehood at the Galway Comedy Festival... And doing a couple of stand-up gigs himself, because presumably there's a recession on. You work when you can. If you had a safari park, yeah. PJ Gallagher, would you eat the animals?
No, you can't eat animals over a safari park, can you?
Well, let's say a giraffe dies, right?
Yeah.
You've forgotten to go to the shops.
So I've starved
my giraffe.
You've
got 15 foot of neck there. 15 foot of... And they've got the same number of neck bones as a human. A giraffe neck.
Just really long ones, though.
Yeah, exactly. So their neck vertebrae are like femurs. Like four femurs in a row.
Yeah.
I imagine giraffe neck is good eating.
Four-legged giraffe, yeah. Four-legged giraffe.
It's weird, but I've always wanted to eat swan. I don't want to offend any vegetarians who might be out there.
Yeah, well, I'm vegetarian, but I think I would have a nibble of a swan.
Like, would you ever go?
If it was appropriate, like, say if I was at the Queen's birthday and I shouldn't have been there and she wanted the last bit of swan and I thought I could take it off her, I'd nibble a swan.
Imagine the scene, there are you both now, over the swan buffet, over the swan nuggets, and you and the Queen both reach for the beak, which, as we know, is the tastiest part of the swan, the beak.
Of course it is, yeah.
It's a bit like candy... It's brittle and it's sweet.
It's like the buffalo wing of the swan, really, wouldn't it? A little bit of meat and you get to play with it.
It sort of is. It sort of is.
Spicy swan beef.
I'll tell you what I did have. I did have ostrich curry at a curry house.
Really, though?
I had ostrich tikka masala.
You can't, though.
When you're having the ostrich, PJ, it's very important, never have the drumstick. That's unwieldy. That's just unwieldy. That's no way to carry on. This section of the show is where I show people with the chairs are, so we've got PJ Gallagher in. He knows where the seats are, which leaves us free now to play a record, and after that there's going to be adverts, and then we're going to be about PJ talking about Singlehood. It is Phil Jupiter sitting in for Keith Finnegan here on Galway Bay FM, the sound of angry Galway, and Keith is, as we speak, out harassing swans, as only a respected local broadcaster can. Really, he's got his bag of food. You know the child catcher in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Yeah.
Imagine a slightly huskier version of that. Luring swans. Luring swans into his carriage of evil. So here we are, and I am in conversation currently with Mr. PJ Gallagher, who is appearing in Singlehood. Now, that is at the Town Hall Theatre, and that is at 7 o'clock on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
Am I right, my friend?
Yeah.
PJ, tell me about this show, my dear boy.
Well, it's a different one for me. I suppose it's kind of like a theatre show, but it kind of isn't. It's sort of like seven stand-ups all talking about being single, if you know what I mean. So it's more of a stand-up type style show than a theatre show.
It kind of ended up
that way. So, but they've been touring it for a while, so I'm new into it. So it's unusual, you know, because you're walking into a show that everybody's been in for a while, and they've all got their bits and pieces, and then you've got to bring something new to it.
The structure of that is quite difficult, because obviously stand-ups are they're like lone gunmen, aren't they? There is a law unto themselves.
Yeah, exactly. You can do whatever you want, right?
Stand-ups working as an ensemble, it's a completely new demand of your mindset as a performer. Or is it difficult to adjust?
Yeah, it is a bit. Because you're used to just being up there doing whatever you want, saying whatever you've planned, and maybe not, you know, just going off on one. But now it's like we're seven of us working together. And there's music and stuff in the show as well. So me singing on stage and sort of... acting and even a dance bit, which is kind of very unusual for me.
Singing and dancing.
Yeah, I know, it doesn't sound
Don't tell me normal. That you've not always had that in the kit bag ready to unleash on the world, BJ. Yeah,
unfortunately, I haven't. I'm the most awkward person you've ever seen on stage. I can't move properly. Like, you know, I can't tie laces and stuff. So dancing is all.
I'll tell you the last person said that to me in an interview, PJ. Shall I tell you the last person to say that to me?
Yeah.
Flatly. And look how he ended up. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
He can string a few taps together, in fairness to the man.
He can move. But when he met me, oh, he's like a club-footed idiot. so this thing is... So it's about singlehood. Now the perspective of a stand-up... Now, stand-up comedians talk about being single. I always find quite a sort of... It's a bit rich, really, because stand-ups are in a great position to meet new people.
Yeah, that's true. And as well, I'm married, so it's kind of... but I was single. Like, I've been single before.
This show should have a disclaimer. Performers may not actually be single.
There's two married people in it, yeah. So it's kind of... But it's like, it's your... So there's us speaking from a perspective of having been single and now not being anymore. Yeah, and there's people that have been long-term single in the show, and then... There's people that have just recently hooked up and are kind of adjusting to not being single. So it's not just... So it's kind of about relationships, generally speaking, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's just coming from it. So, yeah.
Are there any great universal truths sort of unveiled by this show, PJ? Because I know it was... I mean, it was a sellout. It was on in Dublin. Where was it? On in Dublin?
It was on the Olympia, yeah. We did 3 nights in the Olympia. And it was great crack there. To be honest, it's the best fun I've ever had on stage.
It's a big, big old show. So it's what I love is the idea of making stand-ups, as we say, these willful, disparate brains of the stand-ups. Focus on one thing.
Like So you're pulled into having to make material on one sort of thing. And it's also based because the director of the show, she interviewed loads and loads of single people for a long time, just got different stories and stuff. So we've all their stories to play with too. So it's not just our own perspective, you know, and there's parts of the show where we're speaking as these other people who are interviewed and getting their perspective on it as well. And it's kind of when you do it, you realise being single is different for everybody. Yeah. Some people love it. And other people just feel a bit trapped by it, and all those grey bits in between. So
there's one of the things that I've always felt was a little unfair is that the being single is something that is it's portrayed generally in society, I think, as something that is a stage on the way to not being single, is a temporary state.
Yeah, that's
no
it.
No one ever talks about singularity as a permanent state of being, whereas a lot of the people who are single, I know many single people are perfectly happy being so. You know?
I know, yeah, but people ask, you know, how do you know it was the right one, or how long have you been married? You don't really, it's kind of almost rude to go, how long have you been single? You know, it's because people feel... Like you shouldn't be, or you know, when you're asking that question.
It's a rich topic to kind of for the comedy mill to gain material from. But
yeah, but it is fun though. That's it. Not a bunch of single people just like crying and going, "I wish I was doing stand up about being married on my own. It would be so much more fun than this."
do you? As I mean, you and the other married member of the cast.
You're rolling your eyes saying that.
Have you been, really? We're not selling this show at all well. But, I mean, are you getting any stick from the singletons in the cast?
A little bit, because...
You
don't know what it's like.
You're liars.
Because they're single, and the other people in the cast are quite a lot younger than me, so they're... Being single to them is totally different to when I was single and younger, because there's Tinder and the internet and all that. And when I used to just sit downstairs and wait for the phone to ring and hope my dad wasn't going to listen in, you know.
There's that the weird thing is my sister met her old man. She's with at the minute, and they've been together for over 10 years now, and they've got children together. She met him on the internet, and it's like I can't imagine anything more hideous than the dice rolling idea of using the internet.
I know,
find company.
But that's because we're of a certain age, isn't it? Like, we used to have to get drunk and just fall into people and hope that we stayed together.
That's
kind of being single.
I mean, if it wasn't for the cider industry in the UK, I wouldn't have children now. That's
I don't think I'd be married if I wasn't drinking at the time. I don't think she would have put up with me if she wasn't. But now there's, like, so many different ways to find people. But it's kind of like iTunes. Like, there's so much choice now. It's very hard to settle on any one song for too long.
Yeah. Are there any conclusions drawn by the show, or is it just a portrait of the fact that it is such a mad and disparate world out there?
Yeah, it's more that. It's more just a portrait of how being single is so different for so many different people, and different people's their perspective on it. And, like, it's mostly a comedy show, but there's kind of serious bits in it as well, because you can't avoid that either.
There's song, there's dance, there's seven comedians, ladies and gentlemen. This sounds like an absolutely perfect show. It is happening at the Town Hall Theatre at 7 o'clock on Friday and Saturday. It was an absolute sellout in Dublin. So this is going to be a hot ticket for the Galway Comedy Festival. So do drag yourselves along and see Mr. PJ Gallagher. Eric Lawler's in it as well.
Eric Lawler and Joanne McNally. Aidan Strangeman, who's the winner of So You Think You're Funny this year. He's the main music man in it.
Fantastic.
So there's a great bit of crack in it.
Lovely. Marvellous stuff. Okay. Well, we shall be... I'll tell you who's coming into the room next time. I think it's going to be Googie from the Roshan Dove's going to be nipping in to chat with us as well. So. Very much the throbbing heart of Galway, I have always believed, is the Roshan Dove. The man who... who punches that heart, who defibrillates it every day with his own blood, sweat and endeavour. Googie, how are you, my friend? Are you well?
I'm very well, Phil, thank you.
Hey, and
it's a great pleasure to be here with you on the radio on Galway Bay FM during the Vodafone Comedy Carnival.
Such a joy to be here. As me, Phil Jupiter, sitting in for Keith Finnegan, who has now, I believe, he's got 11 swans in his carriage of evil. We've just had an update from the road now. Keith's swan carriage is almost overfilling with swans, which he has lured with our swan bait. And PJ Gallagher is still with us, of course. Ellen Tiernan joining us very, very shortly on the show as well. But we chat with Googie because, the comedy festival.
Carnival.
I'm going to keep saying that. Carnival schmarnival.
It's right up there, like.
Look where I am. There's trees in the way. I can't see what's going on. I'll get it up on the internet. One of the, to me, very much the high point of the entire comedy carnival is that you and I, the Magnificent Seven tonight, I'm looking forward to that.
I'm very much looking forward to that now. I've been dusting out my old 7 inches.
I can just thank you for whenever I've come along to Galway, I've done comedy as on a whim. I don't know how it even happened the first time we did it.
We'd been talking about it the time, and then we decided it would be a great fun to DJ together.
Yeah.
And it turns out it was great fun.
As
much fun for the customers, I assume, as it was for us.
I don't know.
I remember there was a very, very, because
there's nothing like incredibly mean-spirited people seeing someone enjoy themselves to really bring out the A game of mean-spiritedness. And there was some three sort of hipster rock idiots by the bar at the Roshan one night.
My bread and butter.
And they were leaning against the bar, and I was having a real laugh with you. I think it was maybe the second time I'd done it, just having a laugh and playing the songs. And they were not moved, completely stony faced, like Easter Island statues in denim. And one of them came up, and he was either Spanish or Portuguese or something. And it's because I was dancing and singing along to that. And he came up to me and sort of beckoned me over. They come to the stairs at the stage while I was DJing, and I went over and he went, my friends want to know what you play in the band. And I'm, what? What do you play in this band? My friends want to know. And I really nearly went, your mum. But I thought of that afterwards. I dare say you don't care anything. That's your club. You run that. But me as a visitor, I get some faces. I get some comments.
As I was saying earlier, I do tend to come from the it's not my fault you don't know the song school of DJing.
Yeah.
You really should know this song. It's a really good song.
I had to, and I don't know if you came the night when I DJ'd at the...
I absolutely did. I think everyone did.
At the Nevermind the Buzzcocks End of Series party, where I put massive posters up everywhere saying no requests.
It's nice. Yeah.
I'm a very surly disc jockey
The celebrity chefs of the disc jockey world. You get what you're given and that's the end of it.
It's not as bad as people coming up and asking you to say happy birthday to their friend over the microphone, which my response is, everyone who knows already cares. Yeah. For everyone cares? Everyone who cares already knows, I guess.
It works both ways, Googie. That's the brilliant part about it. So what I thought was, because you, I'm always amazed, because Googie's the only, you're the only person I've ever seen club DJing, and the technology has moved on such. I mean,
yeah, I miss it though. I miss using, because I have the videos back
yeah.
in the day, use those for silent disco.
I mean, it's a multimedia affair
Tuesday,
now,
every
my
Tuesday
friend.
Tuesday and Wednesday night in the Roisin Dove. at silent disco every Tuesday and Wednesday in the Roisin Dove at 11 o'clock. Myself and Ted, who does this on disco with me, we used to have the videos up on the screens behind us. So
yeah,
I tend to use that now at Strange Brew as well, because, you know, it adds a nice little effect to the club. But I do really miss playing records. So
this
buy a lot of records. It's just getting a chance to play them.
And what happened was when, because I knew I'd be over, and you and I would be once again doing our little dance, and I thought that it might be a laugh to limit ourselves a little, and so I said, "How about 7-inch vinyl only?" And you said, salmon.
You said vinyl. I said 7-inch only.
I thought
I upped the game a bit.
Did you?
Yeah.
I thought I said 7-inch only.
I don't know. We can go back and forth.
Let's check the emails. Let's find out who won this one. I don't know why it's so combative, you and I. There's definitely a homoerotic element to it.
You were just slagging hipsters.
I'm glad you said it. I'm glad you said what we were thinking.
we were slagging hipsters. It takes one to slag one. So that's what we're doing. And so I and it was very nervous, me getting onto my Ryanair flight this morning with my little box of 7-inch. Putting it on that conveyor belt, my heart was thumping.
I know.
My heart was thumping as it went through the curtain.
Did you think of strapping them to your body as you went through or something?
I thought of actually fashioning a crude vinyl suit of them.
Because there's going to be a lot more fun, because the Silent Disco, which is on every Tuesday and Wednesday in the Roisin, you did one. We did one together, which wasn't the highlight.
It was really brilliant, because it was when you look out and you're playing record A and you see a room of 200 people, all of whom are singing along to something, you know, what are they doing? And then there's one guy at the bar nodding in the rhythm to the record you're playing. One man at the bar going, and then looking at you and putting his thumb up. That man was Steve Steen.
My favourite moment that night was my twin sister was up from Limerick, and she's hardly ever up, and she was quite drunk for once in her life, I'd say. And she came up without the people who've never really been to silent disco before didn't really realise that she didn't have to shout, and came up to me and goes, "That guy's crap!" pointing at you. And
yeah. It was nice.
It was good. It was nice. That was the closest we've ever been.
It was a lovely moment. And it was just really, when
it was
you're
the
playing.
The nicest thing she's ever said to me, and it wasn't me. It was just putting someone else down.
I'm glad that I could help, really. my defence, my sister's never met you.
But you didn't jump at the opportunity to come along and play the silent disco for kids.
Never,
doing the speaking
ever.
Test.
Ever, ever.
The silent disco for kids is a different story entirely. It's an entirely new school of DJing, because everything is so immediate.
Yeah.
They come up, because we've done them in Sea Point before. We did a great one for Babro a couple of years ago. But the kids will come up and ask you for a song.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, of course I'll play that for you. And then they just stand there looking at you.
Oh, wow.
Staring intently, because they want you to play the song now.
There's an immediacy about children.
What are you waiting for?
Isn't there?
To play the song.
Stop the track.
And then, can you play it again? And again. So, I think we played Gangnam Style 8 times between the two of us.
Good grief.
Wow. That's punishment for petty
crime.
That's
like what they do
Eastern
in
European
Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, exactly.
If you were doing a silent disco for kids, it would probably be an idea to
Monday the 27th in the Spiegel Tent.
But have a third channel that's just got one record on repeat.
Yeah.
One that you know that really resonates with them, and you should just leave that on there all the time.
The Gangnam track, yeah.
Yeah, or What Does the Fox Say?
What does the fox say?
That's this generation's Gangnam style.
I saw
there's actually another generation.
That's how quickly
then.
It goes.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I saw Elvis Costello at the weekend. I was chatting with him, and he went on Elvis's TV show when he was gigging in Sweden. He guested with the
really
What Does the Fox Say lads, and he said they were terrific fun. He had a rare old time with them. Playing this one for Googie as well. Played him two records this morning, which is absurdly charitable.
I appreciate that.
And what with this being a comedy festival, it's a festival, but it's called the Carnival. Sorry. What with this festival being the Vodafone Comedy Carnival Galway? Now I can read off that big red board now.
.com.
There we go. Oh, wow. You are, what is it?
A plug machine.
Yeah.
Any minute now, he's going to ask me if I've been missold PPI insurance. The Keith Finnegan Swan Totaliser now stands at 23. Wow, that's some angry swans. Please don't forget that you can listen back to these shows by downloading the podcast for free from the iTunes store. Simply search for Vodafone Comedy Carnival. Surely festival would be the right word there. Alternatively, you can watch video highlights of each show by logging onto the festival's website, VodafoneComedyCarnival.com. We are still in the company of Mr. PJ Gunner. Say hello, sir.
How are you?
Hey, Googie's still here.
Hello.
Ahead of tomorrow night's Sound Clash, why? At the Roasting Dove. And joining us now to add a little estrogen to the testosterone that is really making this table quite unpleasant. Hey, Eleanor Tiernan is here to talk about the National Therapy Project taking place tonight and tomorrow, 6 o'clock at Cladder Hall as part of the Vodafone Comedy Carnival. Eleanor, welcome to
the show.
Hi,
Phil. Thank you for having me.
National Therapy Project, are you finally fixing the country?
Absolutely, Phil. I'm obviously a stand-up comedian. It's completely obvious, of course. But I have also been hired by the government as a project manager of a new nationwide initiative to heal the people of Ireland from the defective characteristics that we have. I'm doing a nationwide programme. It's going to be rolled out one by one. The unhealthy thinking habits of the Irish will be broken, and a change across the psycho-spiritual landscape of Ireland will occur, and we will, you know, all be for the better.
Two words, Ellen Tin. Two words. Big ask.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of work for you to do there.
There is, yeah, but we've all the time in the world. There's no rush, you know. I can come back to the Vodafone Comedy Carnival next year.
I quite like this as an idea for people to... all of us like to go to a show, but to go to a show and there being a degree of self-improvement in buying that ticket. You're not just buying a ticket for this show, Ellen Tiernan. I like to think that your audience members are buying happiness. Discuss.
Absolutely, yeah. They'll come out of the show, they'll feel refreshed, calm. We had a number of people in last night, a number of fishermen from the West Coast, and I understand that there's no traffic out on the sea this afternoon, following on from the project. So, it's definitely, you're absolutely on the money there.
Well, this is the thing, you see. I mean, how does one start? You've got your group of people there, and it's with all therapy. The weird thing is that most of it does have to come from the patient first. How do you pull them out of themselves?
Well, the first thing we do is that we ask everybody for their PPSN number. That's the start of every government initiative here in Ireland, and we're honest about it. We will be selling it on to private companies in the future. The next thing then after that we do is we bring people in and we conduct, I suppose it's a secular tribal ritual that has been designed specifically with the Irish in mind. I've studied all of the psychotherapy techniques from around the world. I've selected the ones that are pertinent to the Irish context and devised a one-hour session specifically for Irish people, it's very successful. People will go through the healing, and there's a lot of potatoes involved. You will get a free potato.
Wow.
At the show.
I was actually just going to ask that.
Exactly. There's nothing like the feeling of holding a potato in your hand, actually. The
nothing
weight
like
of
it.
Them, they're gorgeous.
It's like a newborn bird, isn't it?
Newborn swan, indeed.
That was my favourite outtake line from Apocalypse Now. Let me conjecture this, Eleanor Tiernan. My biological father was Irish. He was from Cork. He deserted my mother. I don't want to go into it now. So sitting in front of you in a very real sense, Eleanor Tiernan, is a Morrissey song. Could I, as an Irish-blooded, English-hearted boy, gain anything from the National Therapy Project?
You absolutely could, Phil. We're looking at citizenship in the broadest possible definition of it. You do fall into the category for the reasons you've described there. And Irishness, these foibles that Irish people have, obviously, you know, we have them because we've grown up in this country, but there's ones that we have inherited from our ancestors, and you, I'm sure, have those in your personality.
Indeed. I was listening to Radio 2 the other day and burst into tears at the Furies.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing. I suspect, if you're like me, you'll have to eat every scrap of food on your plate because you're only six generations away from a famine. Yes. This is the kind of thing that we have to... We can't answer questions directly because of 800 years of trying to outwit the English. It's kind of... These are the things we're trying to get
you
at.
You think that's trouble? I have to try and outwit myself.
Would there be an issue with Phil not having a PPS number?
We will have forms where you can apply for one actually at the show. We have the facility to allocate PPSs.
You're basically going for the Irish. If you can qualify to play for the Irish football team, this show can help you. It's that level of Irishness.
Absolutely,
I do believe the criteria for that has been broadened to be anyone that owns a Westlife record.
That's fair enough.
A lot more 12-year-old girls playing for Ireland. I'm not up to date on what music is in any way like these days. So this show it's happening tonight. It's at the Cladder Hall at South Park, not that South Park. Is there a section of the Irish community you're particularly trying to reach, Eleanor?
I feel a lot of Catholic people or people who are upset with the Catholic Church probably don't feel like they want to go to Mass anymore. However, you can actually kind of miss Mass as a thing or having Mass, you know, in your life, but you don't necessarily want to go to Catholic Church. So this is kind of like a secular, hilarious Mass. I think there's value in it for that reason. So yeah, I would particularly encourage people who have fallen away from the Catholic Church.
Here's an illustration of exactly how childish I am as an individual. When you went Miss Mass, then I in my head went, I was taking a bath. Sorry, it's just how I work. Hey PJ, are you someone that feels that you could benefit from this sort of therapy as someone who is not single, taking part in a play about being single?
Yeah, see, there's a person that needs help right there.
Yeah, fundamentally conflicted.
Yeah, and Eleanor seems to be giving me all the advice I need. I mean, just the idea of holding a potato for 10 minutes does feel like it would make me happier about, you know, the general aspects of my life, the whole being Irish, the conflicted emotions. Sounds like a good show to me. Sounds like good therapy.
And Googie, of course, from Roisin and Dove. Googie, you've been providing a form of community Prozac with Strange Brew for years at the Roisin Dove.
Well, I like to think the Roisin Dove is a sort of a haven for lapsed Catholics who would benefit from Eleanor's show this evening.
But do you think that Eleanor's encroaching on your turf with her kind of method of therapy?
It's over on the right side of the river, so we're all friends on this side of the river, so all friends down the west.
Plug that show again, PJ Geller. Tell us about Singlehood, my friend.
Singlehood, Town Hall, Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock. Great fun and loads of us in it.
Here's a fun part. Tell us about your other gigs, PJ.
Oh, yeah. Oh, those ones. Don't mind them. They're going grand.
Eleanor Tiernan, National Therapy Project. Where and when, my friend?
6 o'clock in the Cladder Hall. Tonight and tomorrow.
In the Cladder Hall tonight and tomorrow. Ireland, if you want to be healed, get along to the Cladder Hall. And Googie, yourself and myself, when is tomorrow night, is it?
Thursday night in the Roisin Dove as part of Strange Brew. Myself and yourself playing 7 inches.
Wow.
7-inch records only at the Magnificent Sevens, which was... It took us a while to come up with that name, actually.
In his defence, Googie came up with that one. We were playing around.
It was a sort of a back and forth. And then, of course, on Monday, myself and Bella will be doing Silent Disco for Kids in the Spiegel Tent.
Fantastic.
Which obviously
stuff.
Would be familiar to a lot of people who go to Silent Disco every Tuesday and Wednesday night in the Roisin Dove.
And as ever, as we like to say about the Comedy Carnival here in Galway, an embarrassment of riches and, as always, a richness of embarrassments. So make sure you can stick around for those events. I'm just going to look through. I've got a little man through there called Kevin Healy who sometimes tell me who the guests are on the show tomorrow. I have no idea who the guests are on the show tomorrow. At some point, if you look on the Galway Bay FM website, I'm sure they'll let you know. But that's how well-informed I am. There is a show tomorrow because Keith is now jonesing so badly for Swansea, he needs another hour at them. I'll be back here tomorrow with some guests. I don't know who they are.
We can all come back tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll all do it.
Smooth! Yeah. There's going to be more shows to plug. Hey, ta-da!